From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
From what I understand, he's somebody who just came into the community, so it is natural for people to not necessarily know him.
That was the voice of a member of the Omar Mosque in Paterson, New Jersey. Reportedly, the mosque attended by the person standing accused of killing at least 8 in New York City, Saifullo Saipov, an immigrant from the former Soviet Republic of Uzbekistan.
If you're coming in, you're an outsider, the first place you're going to go to is the mosque. That's going to be your center point. You know, that's where you're going to go, you know, on Friday prayers and say, hey, you know, does anybody need somebody to help for work? You know, if you're looking for work, I know they said he was doing Uber.
But rather than pointing to Uber as a possible hotbed of terrorist activity, much of the U.S. media is now looking at Uzbekistan as demonstrating some connection between Russia's President Putin and terrorism. For its part, earlier this week, Russia was actually helping to end terrorism in the place where it's had the largest body count and caused the most damage in recent memory, Syria. This was Russia's special envoy on Syria, Alexander Lavrentiev, holding a press conference in Astana at the opening of the 7th round of Syrian talks in the capital of Kazakhstan, another former Soviet republic.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to let you know that we've started consultations as part of the 7th international meeting on Syria here in Astana. This is the 7th meeting. A lot of things have happened since over this time. The situation on the ground changed dramatically. Still, we have some issues unresolved that need to be resolved as part of the Astana process, which is what we are currently working on. We've started active consultations between working groups at the experts level, at the high level. We are looking at many different issues, specifically the situation in the escalation zones, the southern zone, the central zone, and the Hama zone, and of course, most importantly, the Idlib zone, where, as you know, Iranian, Turkish, and Russian observers are present. So we continue coordinating deployment areas for Turkish and Iranian observers. We discuss issues related to stabilization, not just in the western Idlib, but also in eastern Idlib. There is a large number of issues that I hope we will be able to work out to stabilize the situation in this rather complex area where a large number of al-Nusra fighters are still present, having a negative effect on the situation in the area. I might say we have a complete understanding with the Syrian delegation. We have had very constructive talks today. I recently was in Damascus, and the Russian delegation met with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. In our meetings today, we are also talking about confidence-building measures between the opposing parties. We discuss demining issues, humanitarian issues. We discuss an agreement on exchange of bodies and on the people that are being forcefully held. This is an issue which we haven't been able to resolve for a very long time, but it still takes a lot of time to coordinate all the details considering all the legal aspects and difficulties. I would like to point out that The 7th International Meeting on Syria in Austin is attended also by a U.S. delegation led by Ben Satterfield, Undersecretary of State, the UN delegation. We are yet to meet with them today and tomorrow. I hope that these talks will conclude successfully, and I hope that this will lay a strong foundation for the next rounds of the Astana process. It would be premature for me to talk about results or the outcome of these talks. I think we'll review our results tomorrow after the plenary session. If you have any questions, I'm ready to take them. Question regarding the Congress of Syrian Peoples. The very name sounds perplexing, because it's just the people of Syria. So, what is behind this name? I don't want to get into the specifics of this matter, but I will unveil some of the details. Yes, it is Russia's initiative to have the Congress of the Syrian people, not peoples, plural, of Syria. But after consultations with our colleagues and partners, we decided that the name will be adjusted, and it will be the Congress of National Dialogue. We think it would be more appropriate to talk about the dialogue, because we want to achieve a compromise with the political settlement. As to the location where this Congress might take place, I can't say anything right now. There are several options we're looking at. Some of them were mentioned in the media. It is possible that the Congress may take place at our air base in Khmeimim. We considered this option because of security considerations for all the parties invited, including the armed opposition, but we're also looking at other options, including places in Russia. Where this will take place specifically, I'm not ready to tell you at this point. This is still under consideration. Stefan de Mistura, as you know, basically supported the idea of having this Congress, of course, with some reservations, but on the whole, he does support this Russian initiative. As you know, the Syrian president has made a very special statement. October 26th, he welcomed, he confirmed his readiness to launch the constitutional reform. Of course, this process, what he means is preparing a new constitution, and based on a new constitution, there will be a new presidential and parliamentary election. As we hope, it will happen under the auspices of the United Nations. Well, we all know very well what happened in Raqqa. There was excessive measures used, and after Raqqa was liberated, as we all saw, there were no civilians left in the city after it was liberated. If you compare this to how the Syrian forces liberated Deir al-Zor, it is a totally different picture. In Deir al-Zor, civilians are still in place, and they are being helped by the government forces and the Russian forces as well. The situation in East Ghouta on the whole can be described as satisfactory. Humanitarian aid is being delivered. Government forces don't create any obstacles for the United Nations to deliver humanitarian aid to this area. The joint Syrian-Russian UN Coordination Center works quite effectively. Of course, from time to time, there are certain complications because of provocations by certain groups of Jabhat al-Nusra and even certain detachments of Daesh still in East Ghouta. Of course, we will continue to fight them. So far, we've been unable to mop up those pockets of resistance.
Syria's permanent representative to the United Nations, Bashar al-Jaafari, is representing his country at the talks. Syria's UN ambassador joined a press conference at the close of the seventh round of the talks seeking peace in Syria Tuesday.
Good evening, everyone. Throughout these meetings, we talked about the results of the sixth round of talks and of what was implemented and what was not implemented, speaking about the arrangements made before. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, during the sixth round of talks in Astana, we agreed to create the de-escalation zone in the Idlib province, withdrawing the armed groups to the east of the Abu Dhabi road, at the distance of 3 kilometers to the west of that road, so that everyone would be part of this process, resisting and fighting Jabhat al-Nusra, eliminating this organization designated as a terrorist group by the international community. Also, we agreed that Russia and Iran would send observers to monitor the ceasefire in the region. But what was happening since the sixth round of talks and until this very moment, and Turkish forces in coordination with Jabhat al-Nusra,
دون أن تلتزم تركيا بتعهداتها
into the territory of Syria,
بموجب اتفاق خفض التصعيد,
taking account the fact that Turkey does not implement its obligations to maintain the ceasefire agreed
لقد أثرنا هذا الأمر مع الضامنين الروسي والإيراني
خلال هذه الجولة. We raised this issue with the guarantors, Russia, Iran.
وأكد لنا الضامنان الروسي والإيراني على ضرورة التزام الضامنين جميعا.
And they confirm that all sides, all guarantors should comply with their obligations. The Syrian Arab Republic sees any presence of any military force on this territory without the
will of the government of Syria
as an assault, as occupation, which requires adequate response. I would like to read out the same text.
During this round of Astana 7, which has just ended, we met with the two guarantors, the Russian and the Iranian. These meetings were, as always, productive and fruitful. We talked about Astana 6 and what was implemented of it. And as you all know, in Astana 6, we had agreed to add Idlib to the zones of de-escalation on the basis of withdrawing all armed groups located in the eastern side of the road of Abu al-Duhur to a distance of 3 kilometers to the west, and for everybody to join combating al-Nusra Front and eliminating it, as it is classified, internationally speaking, as a terrorist group. In addition to that, Iran and Russia should send monitors to observe the ceasefire regime. However, what had happened since Astana 6 till now was that the Turkish forces, with their tanks and armed vehicles, in cooperation and coordination with al-Nusra Front, entered to the Syrian territory in contrary to its commitment, in accordance with the de-escalation agreement signed by the three guarantors. During this round, the current one, we had raised this issue with the two guarantors, Russia and Iran. And from their part, who emphasized the necessity for the guarantors to abide by their commitments. The Syrian Arab Republic considers that any presence of any military forces on its territory without its consent is merely an aggression and an occupation, which will be dealt with accordingly.
And now I'm ready to take up your questions.
Within
these 2 days, we've been hearing about
In Sochi,
we have that forum. Will you be one of the participants?
شكراً. تعرفون أنه منذ بداية الأزمة في بلاد سوريا والحكومة
الفاتحة
على كل المبادرات التي من
شأنها has been open to all initiatives which can put an end to bloodshed in the country, as well as put an end to that unfair and just war against the people of Syria. Syria is the first country which initiated the conference on the crisis started in 2012. We've been repeating it times and times again that we are for dialogue. We stand up for dialogue, even when we felt that these initiatives which set forth lead to no results. Despite all that, we've been applying the necessary efforts to
حتى لا يقال أننا لا نريد الحوار.
That very mechanism of dialogue to move forward, so that no one could say we are against
dialogue,
or that we do not want to advance on the political track.
أما بالنسبة لسؤالك عن مؤتمر الحوار الوطني الذي تسمعون به هذه الأيام والذي تطرق إليه السيد وزير خارجية كازاخستان في بيانه قبل دقائق.
Initiated by the
مؤتمر الحوار الوطني هذا هو
moments ago. The national dialogue is a result of many other dialogues coordinated efforts which are taking place between us, Russia, Syria and Iran.
فعلى خلفية الوضع الميداني
and our friends in Russia in particular.
في سوريا
on the front line and taking account the fact that the terrorist activities decreasing, we think it is the right moment to hold that conference. and we are ready to participate.
معك حق بالنسبة للاستفسار عن المكان.
Right.
المكان كان أساسا
مطرح about the location where it will be organized.
ثم
we suggested to organize it in Syria.
الاتحادية.
Then decided to move the location to the Russian
بداية
Federation.
الطرح كانت أن سوريا أن الدولة السورية هي التي تطرح هي من تدعو.
First we thought that the Syrian
إلى عقد هذا المؤتمر
state should
وهي
be
التي
inviting
ترعى
and organizing
المؤتمر.
This meeting,
وطبعاً
this forum,
لم
that Syria
ولن نتخلى
will oversee,
عن دورنا
and we never refused it. We never refused
ولكي نكون
to take up that role.
But في مقاربتنا للأمور,
to be realist,
كنا نعلم أن جزءاً كبيراً من المجموعات
correspond our efforts to the situation.
يرتبط قرارها السياسي
and the situation is that
والمادي
many groups
بالخارج,
who receive political and personal help from other actors, well-known actors, these groups in Syria, they will not be allowed to participate in the conference in the territory of Syria, organized by the government of Syria. After many talks with friendly Russian colleagues, we decided to organize the event in the Russian Federation. First, because Russia is a guarantor. Second, because we can trust Russia as a friendly state, as our ally, which has been helping us to preserve our independence and recapture our territory. The second question. Doctor, we've been hearing about the UN role. First, in the situation with the dialogue and elections or the ultimate resolution of the Syrian issue. So, what is the assessment of the Syrian government, the role of the UN? We are the state which is a member of the United Nations. Moreover, so, we are one of the founding
ولذلك نحن نحترم ميثاق هذه المنظمة
Nations.
الدولية
and we do respect the charter of the UN.
ونعتقد أن الأمم المتحدة لها دور
created it. And we believe that the United Nations plays the crucial part
عندما تتمتع
in the resolution.
بالاستقلالية المطلوبة
as the United Nations has necessary independency despite
وكما
all
لاحظنا,
the political
فإن
forces
التوازن بدأ يعود
it.
للأمم المتحدة.
The balance is coming back to the United Nations, fortunately, after the great powers started to implement their roles. That's why any role of the United Nations in the resolution of the Syrian crisis is very warmly welcomed by us when we see the neutrality
وهو الميثاق الذي
guaranteed by the Charter of the United Nations. The Charter which reads the sovereignty of the states should be maintained. That's the kind of neutrality I'm talking about set forth by the Charter of the United Nations which focuses attention on the sovereignty of states, of members, and we are a member state.
على
دستور
على دستور الدول الأعضاء أي الدستور في سوريا
reads
وهو الدستور الذي يقره الشعب السوري ولا
respect towards the constitution of Syria
شكرا لك
and we also respect the constitution thank you
تفضل
سلام العبيدي قناة المدعيدين سعادة المندوب الدائم دكتور بشار الجعفري لدي سؤالان السؤال الأول كيف كان موقف الوفد الحكومي
First,
فيما يتعلق بملف ما يسمى بالمعتقلين أخذا بنظر الاعتبار أن وفد المجموعات المسلحة اتهم إيران أيضا بعرقلة
توصل
إلى تفاهمات أو اتفاق في هذا الشأن
hindering the process of negotiations on that matter. The second question has to do with the situation in Syria. You said yourself that Turkey is occupying part of the country. Also, there are American, U.S. troops in the territory of Syria, and that has also been regarded as occupation by other actors. Was that issue raised during the talks, maybe on the sidelines, especially so that the U.S. side is an observer to these talks? Thank you. First, Syrian delegation, governmental delegation, during the sixth round of talks, presented a document on this very issue. We presented it to the three guarantor countries, and that document reads the official position of our country on that matter. And that is important for us as a state and government, which is the government of Syria. We agreed that afterwards the guarantors would bring feedback back to us and express their opinions on the document, but we haven't seen that, so the ball is not on our part of the field now for some time. As for the Idlib province, we see the presence as occupation. And as you know, we issued a note which renders this as occupation. During the talks, including the talks with Kazakhstan, we've announced and we declared that we see the presence of Turkish armed forces as an act of occupation. If guarantors to other guarantors would not see that, this way, and then Turkey, in the first place, Turkey should be implementing its commitments, its obligations. Otherwise, we'll be responding adequately, giving that clearly and transparently to others. Everyone should understand that this agreement was reached at the sixth round. It was signed by three parties. The three sides agreed that Turkish forces could only be policing in concrete regions at specifically defined territories and safety zones. And two other guarantors will be doing the same. So we were surprised and taken aback when the Turkish forces did not introduce these lighter battalions, but introduced regular army units, armed vehicles, which is a violation. Violation of the arrangements reached during the sixth round. Moreover, in place of confronting al-Nusra and other terrorist groups, Turkey being cooperating with Jabhat al-Nusra in Idlib. This way, these are two major violations on the part of the Turkish forces, violations of the arrangements reached during the sixth round. There are other details, but for us, the most important thing is that we see the Turkish military presence on the territory of Idlib, and that is aggression, that is occupation. We believe that the presence of the U.S. troops is also occupation. In our foreign ministry, we've issued an official declaration, official note, which we transferred to New York. We think that the U.S. presence on the ground and the hostile acts of the so-called international coalition led by the United States is also an act of aggression towards our sovereignty. We've been saying this from the moment when the United States attacked our infrastructure, our institutions. Just as Turkey and Idlib, the U.S. troops were coordinating their actions with the ISIS in Deir ez-Zor, for instance, to give an opportunity to the ISIS to occupy, to seize that mountainous territory and detain 300,000 Syrians. Thank you for your attention.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.